Respected Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Join me this week is my co-host, Mamat. Mamat, say what's up to the people.
It's getting hot in here, so take all your clothes. I forgot the rest of this song.
You know, that's a pretty apt description about the show we just fucking watched.
Yeah.
So this week we are watching a show I picked, and I'm questioning why I ever thought this was a good idea. The show is called Gleipnir, or some shit like that. Before we get into that, I've got the question of the week, and I think this is going to be an interesting one. If not, it's going to start some fire conversation. Somebody going to be upset how they feel, sir. I wish we had more people for this one.
Oh, my.
But the question is simple. The question is simple. What is your anime hot take?
So, you are asking an unpopular opinion.
Yes. What is an anime opinion that you have that somebody else would be like, you're out of your damn mind?
My God. No. Evangelion is a great anime.
That is not an unpopular opinion, much to my dismay.
Higurashi is some of the best anime ever.
You don't really believe that.
Well, I enjoy them.
You enjoy them, but that's not a hot take, man.
Yeah, all right. So do you have any hot takes? Oh, my.
I've got a couple. One is Evangelion is one of the worst anime of all time. that's right off the bat. Two, power scaling is dumb.
Power scaling, huh?
Power scaling is so fucking stupid. I hate it so much. And it didn't start out that way. It just became that way. Let's see.
I mean, that is not an unpopular opinion. Some people don't like power scaling at all.
There's a lot of people that like love power scaling. Like, I'm just like, it's stupid at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the con, and some people will discuss about it, but the most of them, not really. Don't give a shit about them.
Right. I don't think I have any other unpopular opinions.
I'm pretty open with anime, though. So it is hard for me to came up with a very unpopular opinion about this. But you know what? So let's do some research and let's see what some of the internet say about the unpopular opinion about this.
Okay. Yeah. Let's take a look real quick.
Yeah. Maybe Reddit or something.
Anime hot takes.
Let's see if we agree with them.
Okay,
I've
got course that comes back to CBR.com every fucking time. I'm also going to pop over to Reddit, too, because I want some actual people, not just a writer at CBR. anime hot take number... So this is, we're going to run through the 10 at CBR. I want to speed run these, and so we get to the good ones from the actual community. Dubs can be just as good as sub. We already discussed this one.
Yes.
If you didn't hear it, I think we did it in the last episode.
Yes, last week, yes.
Or the episode, yeah, so just check that out. You should have seen it already anyway. But in case you missed it, go check it out, because that discussion was pretty epic. Number 9, next hot take. Fairy tale overuses the power of friendship. I absolutely agree with that shit.
Not really. Some other anime does that too. Not anime, I mean, that's a movie. Any other media.
They're not saying others don't. We're just saying specifically fairy tale does. I don't know if that's a hot take either, because I don't know anyone who's really over here like standing for fucking fairy tale.
Fairy tale, yeah.
All right, number 8. Naruto is not an underdog. He's absolutely an underdog. That's a stupid thing to say. Like, underdog is literally, he has everything stacked against him and overcomes all the odds. That's literally what he did. He started off as everyone hates him. He has crappy chakra and chakra control. The only thing he had was Kurama locked in a cage inside of his belly. And that took him time to finally get him to do what he wanted him to do and then get the training he needed to overcome all of his issues. That is textbook underdog story. That is not necessarily a hot take, but it is stupid. Demon Slayer isn't original.
Yes, of course. It is not original. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what? Yeah, so what?
Yeah, so what? Nothing is really original these days.
Yeah.
Number six, not all CG in anime is bad. That is true. That is not a hot take.
Yeah, that's not
the
a hot
Fate
take.
series is overly complicated. Yeah, the Fate series is overly complicated. That is not a hot take. That is absolutely true.
That is fact.
Number four, One Piece is too long. That is a hot take.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, even me as a fan of One Piece thinks it is too long now.
Number three, Third Hokage was not a good leader. That is not a hot take.
That is just opinion. That's just your opinion.
No, that is fact. That is fact, sir. Number two, Goku's a bad father. Fuck you, sir. Goku is not a bad father.
I mean, in a way,
Goku's irresponsible.
Irresponsible. Goku, okay,
yes. Let's put it like this. I'm gonna put it like this. Is Goku a bad father? No. Is Goku a good father? No.
No.
Goku is a man who grew up without a father. The closest thing he had to a father, other than his dad, who basically had to send him away like fucking Superman when he was born, died on his home planet. Other than that, it was Grandpa Gohan who only trained him up until the point where I believe Goku was four. I want to say. I don't need to research. So.
Why make Goku married to someone is just insane, you know?
I'm going to get to that. Hold on. He was 12 when Gohan died. So that's three. So it's about 9 years that he had Gohan to train him and to teach him how to be a person. So that's not a lot of time to learn how to be a man, let alone a father. Goku had zero experience, zero father figures past the age of 12, and only had him for like 9 years. So it's no wonder why he didn't know how to be a father. His only way that he knew how to be a father was to partake in the activities that he knew, which was training and fighting, which is what he did. Did he run off and fight while instead of raising his kids? Yes, because he didn't know what to do. Also, he wanted to run away from Chi-Chi's abusive ass. So, but when his kids needed him, he was there, either talking to him through King Kai or he was physically there for him. He also is a decent grandfather. Piccolo is still a better dad and a better grandfather, even though him and Gohan are the same fucking age. Goku is not a bad father. He is a person. He is a boy who never grew up and never had a father to emulate. So I would not say Goku is a bad father. And number one, the perfect anime does not exist. That is bullshit, sir.
I mean, nothing is perfect.
The perfect anime does not exist for all people.
Yeah, for all people, yes.
The perfect anime does not exist for all people, but a perfect anime does exist within each person's collection of anime.
Yep.
Everyone has an anime they believe that this could not be better for me. That does not mean that it's perfect for everyone because all art is subjective.
Yes, yes. That's why we have the most favorite one. That is the perfect one for you, right?
Yeah. Wait, which one?
I mean, everyone has their most favorite one, right? So that is the the perfect one for them, at least, in my opinion.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Everyone's got their perfect show. That's the perfect show for that person.
Yeah.
Let's go into the fan ones. So we're over on Reddit for this one, over in our anime. And I'm going to speed run these again. I want to get through, like, 10, maybe 15 of them. Overlord is not that good of a show. Fuck you, sir. Or man. I don't know who you are. I'm just gonna say that. Overlord is not perfect, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But it is a damn good show.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Oh, you have lost your rabbit ass mind. Cowboy Bebop wasted a lot of story potential to be deep. What? I'm sorry. What story potential was lost? I'm going to need you to elaborate on that bullshit, okay? I don't know what's wrong with you and who hurt you, but you need to see a therapist, okay? Cowboy Bebop is, again, about as close as you get to a perfect anime. It was deep for a reason. The story is deep. The music conveys the emotions of the story perfectly. What are you talking about? Wasted story potential. Fuck out of here.
I mean, it could,
Shimanana is a
it can go deep
was that?
Enough for every character individually, but they don't go that route.
They did go deep for every character with the exception of Edward.
Edward and
Edward was the only one they didn't go deep that do a deep dive on the character.
I think Edward and Faye. Faye doesn't really talk about
Faye had like a whole episode or two devoted to her backstory.
Yes, I know. It could go far deeper.
Jet got a whole
that.
Episode. Mm-hmm. What's the point though? We have to remember that the Cowboy Bebop is a 12-episode series.
Is it really 12?
Sorry, no, I'm incorrect. 26 episodes.
Yeah.
If this is correct. 26 episodes. We have 26 episodes of Cowboy Bebop. Okay, we're gonna go with that. You make me stop and go deep on this one. Okay. Asteroid Blues. Asteroid Blues. But why'd they put that one twice? I don't know. We got Asteroid Blues here. Stray Dog Strut. Honky Tonk Woman is when we meet Faye Valentine. Gateway Shuffle. We've got Ballad of Fallen Angels. That's where we start learning about Spike's past and the Syndicate. Sympathy for the Devil. Musical Child Prodigy. Heavy Metal Queen. Waltz for Venus. Then we have Iron with Jen with Edward. Ganymede Elegy. That's where we get Jet's Pass, Toys in the Attic, Jupiter Jazz. I think that's where we get a lot of Faye's backstory. Parts 1 and 2. My Funny Valentine, here we go. That's the one where we get all of Faye's backstory. So she got a whole episode there. Jet, we have some more with the Black Dog Serenade. And then the rest is mostly spent telling general story stuff and then getting into Spike and the Syndicate. For a 26 episode series, you have a side. I'm sorry, Faye is a side character, just like Edward, just like Ayn.
Mm-hmm.
So she got a whole episode to two or three episodes dedicated to who she is and her backstory. That is plenty for a side character. Jet, who is at best a secondary lead to Spike, got two episodes about his real deep backstory. The rest was dedicated to Spike, the Syndicate, Julia, and everything that was going on with that. And that's exactly how it should be. How much story you want to put into a side character? Get the fuck out of here with that.
Yeah, I know. It is pretty balanced for me, at least.
Yeah.
It is not overbearing. So they don't have to go that deep for every character.
They don't. Shimonada is a great show. I'm not really going to say that's a hot take. Amelia is trash. Yeah, kind of.
You're just figurehead now.
I said what I said. For the record, these are not my opinions. I forgot to say this. These are not my opinions. So the commentary after is my opinion, but the actual thing, like Overlord is a good show. These are quotes coming from Scares Savoti over on Reddit from our anime. So I'm not the one with this opinion. I'm challenging these opinions. Trigon is better than Cowboy Bebop. Absolutely.
No. Not in every way, okay. No.
Okay, we're going to jump down to the next person who deleted their Reddit, so I don't know who put this one out there. Good characters are way more important than good story. Yeah, they deleted. It's from deleted. Good characters are way more important than good story. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think both are incredibly important.
Yes.
You can't tell a good story without a good character, because then no one cares about the story, because your character's not interesting enough to get you through it. No one cares about a good good character without a good story, because it doesn't go anywhere. Both of those are equally important.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to go to this is going to be dangerous. Edgelord_GG. Tsunderes are annoying as fuck, and the trope itself is trash.
Yeah, they're just being a hater.
I'm gonna let you take this one, because that's your baby mama they talking about.
It's a unique group, all right? I mean, not all of them are going
to... It's not unique.
There's unique to the anime.
About it, sir.
Unique to the anime tropes, at least.
It's not. It's actually not. It's not unique to anime. It's just one of those things where, like, we don't have a word for it here, but anime has a word for it.
Yes. I mean, we can identify them as tsundere right away in anime, but in other medias, it is hard to pinpoint. We just...
Oh, no, no.
Identify them as annoying.
Once I found out what a tsundere was, I instantly started applying that title to other mediums. Like, if I'm watching a movie, like, yeah. Oh, that bitch is a tsundere. That's a tsundere. It's like, absolutely, I apply that to terms outside of anime. It's just, we didn't have a word for it. It's like we were talking about with the whole my mouth is lonely thing. We don't have a phrase for that. But I know good and well what exactly that feeling is. I'm sitting here. I'm not hungry. I got a bag of chips next to me. I'm just going to eat the chips. Why? My mouth is lonely.
My mouth is lonely. Okay. All right. Moving on.
Okay. Fan service. This is from Midas-92. Fan service and sexualization in anime isn't necessarily a bad thing. I agree. It probably is a hot take, but I definitely agree with that.
We did discuss this.
It's all in how it's done.
Yeah.
We did. I think that was also last week.
Mm-hmm.
Contrarianism is silly without... Oh, this one is from JSuck97. Contrarianism is silly without backing up your opinion. Absolutely. If you're just against something for no reason, with nothing to back it up, it's just stupid.
Ooh.
This is from another deleted. Lollies are an attempt to distract the viewer that the anime they're watching is terrible. Where is Mateo when we need him?
Yeah, man. Go snap a picture or share it to him real quick.
I'll send it to him. Hold up. Let me snapshot this and text this to him real quick.
Wow.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. That's some shots fired, man.
You are playing with fire, man. You are playing with fire there. Oh, my.
Hopefully I'm not waking him up.
It's too early for him to sleep right now. Is it?
I don't know. I don't know what his work schedule is like. All right. So I think we're going to end on the lol, you know? Goddamn, that was a good one.
All right. So
that's
guys...
not a hot take. That's a... Hold on. We got to talk about this one. This is not a hot take. This is the weird has head cannon. Okay. We're not going to discuss that because then we have to go into trigger warnings and I'm not in the mood for that. We're going to pass on that. I'll tell you about it later, but the fuck, what's wrong with you?
Okay. All right. So guys, if you have any hot takes about anime at all, you can hit us up and let us know about it. I am pretty open about anime. I have my opinions, but most of them I agree with the general consensus. I'm not like that guy that really against everything that everyone else has to say, or just becoming a hater and don't want to be on the right side of everything or something like that. So if you have any hot takes or any comment or something that you want to share with us about anime, you can always hit us up on the interweb. Where can people find us on the interweb, Shannon?
Of course, as always, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God damn it. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and Shiitake Podcast. Fuck Elon Musk. Or you can find us at shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Let's move on to our main topic of this week.
So main topic this week, we are discussing Gleipnir. Now this was a show somebody mentioned it a long time ago, and I was like, you know, we could watch that. I was like, yeah, we can watch that. And I just kind of put it on my back burner for a while and never got around to it.
Yeah, I wonder who suggested this anime to
I
you.
don't know. I
Right,
wish I
okay.
knew.
I never heard of it until like recently. But I guess I know why now. I know why.
Yeah, this is a weird one, guys. Let's hit the synopsis and then we'll get into this.
Right.
Here we go. So the synopsis is going to come from MonitorList.net, and it goes like this: Shuichi Kaguya is what one would consider an average high school student, but sometimes he turns into a monster. He doesn't know how or why he got this ability, only that he would prefer no one knows about them. One night, he finds a building ablaze with a girl trapped inside. Deciding to save her, he transforms and carries her to safety, but accidentally drops his phone. The next day, the girl he saves, Claire Aoki, finds him and confronts him about his monster identity. She even goes as so far as to push him off the school roof to prove her theory. After Shuichi denies her allegations, desperate to save himself, he transforms and Claire snaps a picture in order to blackmail him into telling her everything he knows about monsters, which ironically isn't much. As it turns out, Claire has a secret of her own. She has been searching for her sister, who also became a monster. She enlists Shuichi to help her track her down, but they aren't the only ones searching for answers. That's the synopsis for Gluttner from MindAnimalist.net. Next, we're going to head into scores and slogans. Mats, what do you score the show?
I will give it a six. And my slogan for it is, somebody inside you can't be that good.
I could say so much right now.
We can sit somewhere right now, yes.
All right, I'm gonna score the show.
Is literally what happened in the show.
It is. I'm gonna score a five. I'm gonna score a
Okay,
five.
all right.
And my slogan is sex or death. That's
What?
all you
Se
got.
sex or sex or death?
Sex or death.
Okay, all right.
Ugh.
All
The show is
right.
so weird.
Why this one, man? Why?
I was watching some reviews or something, and someone said, yeah, this dude isn't transforms into a monster and his sister climbs inside of him to fight. I'm like, cool, that
Not
sounds interesting.
sister, not
That's
monster.
not what this is. That's not what this is. That is not what this is.
Okay.
So
This.
the true understanding of the show goes like this. You have Shuichi, who, this is all true. He turned into a monster. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know how it started happening. He is missing memories. The
Yes.
problem is that all the other stuff happened where he found Claire, saved her, blah, 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 blah. He transformed into a fucking like mascot costume,
Mascot, yes.
and he can take it off, but then, sorry, he transforms back and forth, and she like essentially there's these coins that they have to find in order to get, they turn them in to get wishes, and people are hunting for the coins, and basically she climbs inside of him to escape, and then realizes that, oh, we're stronger when we fight together. And shit just ensues from there, but everything is sexual innuendo. Everything.
If you watch this and you don't get the point yet, I don't know what you are watching right now.
I mean, they could not be more heavy-handed with the sexual tension, the forced sexual tension and innuendos in the show. Everything is about sex. Everything comes back down to sex. Not to mention, if you're gonna watch this show, trigger warning, screw the fucking roof. Sexual assault and fucking groping is just rampant in the show.
Yeah, they have the hentai scene in there, I guess. Literally like the
Yeah.
typical hentai tropes in there with the monsters taking hostage of the female.
It really felt like something from the 80s, like 80s, early 90s, with the way it grew, like the way it played out with like grabbing the girl and like groping her against her will while her arms and legs are bound. That really plays out like something from like the anime from the early 90s, late 80s, like Ninja Scroll kind of situation.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah,
like 70% of the girls in there like don't really have like any shame of being nude in public at all.
No, they're all fine, flaunting, walking around naked.
Yeah, they're all exhibitionists, the I guess.
Yeah, sure, maybe, but damn, the show was something else. Now, don't get me wrong, the show has a decent underlying story. But it really takes a backseat to the amount of like forced sexual tension that they put in the show.
The flow of the story itself is just
it's broken.
And most of the characters in here are throwaway character. Why introduce them to us like in the middle of the show, but in the end it doesn't matter at all.
So I want to pause here, and I want to read the response we got in from Mateo. Mateo, if you don't know, Mateo is one of our old co-hosts who got busy with fatherhood, so he's not able to join us anymore. But he used to be our Lolly King.
Yeah.
So those of us who real OGs, we used to go by nicknames. I was the Opie Dragon. We had Mateo was the Lolly King. We had Walter was the Etchy King, and Mamach reluctantly was the Idol King. Also with Megan. Another one of our previous co-hosts was the Villainous Princess.
Yep.
So we all used to have nicknames, but Mateo was our Lolly King. So his response to that post talking about the lollies is fake. He's like, fake post. Lollies make the anime. And he says, only true fans know.
Win.
So Mateo always coming in clutch right there. So I just wanted to read Salute. That out and give a little shout out.
Salute, bro.
Back to Gluckner. Back to Gluckner.
All right.
The storyline on the show, it has some potential if they could have focused on it and stayed on it.
Yes, agreed. Because
the secret behind this whole thing is that these coins are actually alien souls. And there's an alien who's trying to have everyone collect them. He says they're like his friends put into a different state. So basically the same as him, but they're in the state, they're in like the coin state right now.
Yep.
For interstellar travel.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one that woke up when the ship crashed. So, but he needs help finding all of his friends. So if you find his friend, he uses the advanced technology from the alien race to grant your wish. Most of these people's wishes gives them powers to turn into things or to affect the world in some kind of special way. If you get whoever gathers 100 coins will be granted any wish they want. The first coin, he will let you get a power, but 100 coins, and he'll grant you any wish that you want, he will make it happen. That is the core of the story that takes a backseat to everything else.
Yes.
Because just on that note, it is a very interesting story with like, okay, I can see why the greedy side of people is coming out, the viciousness and humanity is coming out. I'm down with that. But then you get into like the story of Shuichi and his lost memories and how Claire and her sister, like how they're involved with Shuichi and all that stuff. And it's just too complicated and convoluted. I'm just not a fan.
They are making it complicated. The story is straightforward, in my opinion. They are just introducing some other means to make it more twisted and more complicated, in my opinion. Like the whole
they're trying to make it more than what it is.
The whole middle act for me is just like a tournament act. Just want to introduce more of this, like some random folks that are finding the coins and want to try to gain something out of it. But right in the end, it's just pointless. That's it. That is all of them, right? Like. Less than 20 people involved in this whole situation, I guess. And like,
no, they never give us a number. They never give us a number. We know that that group that's chilling in the forest had at least 10 to 15 members.
And
Shuichi's
all of
group had
them
like
died,
another nine.
I guess.
No. Only five of them died.
Okay.
Five of them died, including the leader. The rest scattered. And then the sixth one died because Shuichi shot him. Then you had like the nine people that were in Shuichi's group, the girl that they first killed, Claire's sister's group, which I think is like five or six deep, and then the dude who's posted up at the spaceship. So we're looking at close to 30 people so far, but we don't have a concrete number. They never give us a hard number.
Yeah, I mean, like 20 of them doesn't really matter at all in this story, at least.
Yeah, most of them don't matter.
And what frustrates me the most is they never end the show. They give us a
No, the show does
cliffhanger,
not end. It's a cliffhanger, and then it just goes into like, we'll see you in season two if it happens.
and we can see that it can end in like two or three episodes, like. Pretty much, because there's nothing else to it. Every character has been introduced. Every crisis or every circumstances has been revealed to us. Every mystery has been revealed to us, pretty much. And they just want to conclude the whole show right at the end, you know? Yeah. The backbone of the story is okay, and but they just ruined the whole show with all of this unnecessary stuff, in my opinion. And why go with this sex innuendo stuff? This is like right in like 2020, right? This is released in 2021 or something.
2020, April to June.
Is this the same year that Darling in the Franxx released? Because it
To find out, I don't have that one memorized.
Has that gripe, you know. It has that the same aura as the Darling in the Franxx, I guess.
Same aura.
Yeah.
1 year prior, Darling in the Franxx was 2019.
Yeah. They are starting a trend, I guess, with this kind of show, but it failed. This is the same as Darling in the Franxx, in my opinion. They have the story, but they ruin it right at the end. And all of this
Well, no,
sex
Darling in the
innuendo stuff.
Franxx ruined it for a whole different kind of reason.
Yeah, but they have the same like main female characters that don't care being known and stuff, and the whole riding the thing in that position. And this one is a reverse
Yeah, but
of
at
that,
least
I guess.
Darling in the Franxx was doing it on purpose.
So
Like to the
don't
point
you
where
think
like the
that
whole show was about the well no, because the whole point in Darling in the Franxx was literally the combination of the male and female. That's why every pilot that was in a male position, their uniform had a Y on it. Every female had an X, literally simplifying the XX and the XY in the
the
general sex
chromosome,
of the
yeah.
pilot, right? The chromosomes of the pilot or the quote unquote writer, I guess. All of that played a huge role in it. So it was in there on purpose, even down to the costume design. This show was just throwing sex out willy-nilly to be like, oh, look, we're so close. Oh, look, I don't care if you touch me. Oh, look, well, I'm being groped against my will, but I'll do it because I have to get what I want. And it's like, keep in mind, all these motherfuckers are still in high school. I think only like one of the girls wasn't still in high school.
One. No, Claire's sister is not in high school. Is she? Was she?
No, I'm talking about the girls who were like being overly sexual. The leader of the group Claire joined wasn't in high school,
Yeah,
but
that
pretty much
one.
everybody else was.
Yes. Yeah. Even that animal ear girl too, that come out of
Yeah.
nowhere, right? You just met this guy. Hey, let's go find my purse that lost in the forest somewhere.
Let's go find my wallet. Oh, let me get inside you. The fuck?
Yeah. I will get naked and go inside you. Yeah, no problem.
way too willing to just get naked and just climb into some random thing. I don't understand.
And this costume, why the innards is like a internal organ of human or something.
I don't know.
And how they can breathe in there. Yeah. It is a weird show. It is highly sexual. It is not essential to the story, in my opinion. They're just being edgy at this point. Maybe there are
Pretty much.
some crowd for this one, but even the fan of edgy won't enjoy this show as much as the other show like DxD or Sekire or Quasar, you know. Those other ones are better than this one. This is just
Well, yeah, and a lot of those,
meh.
that was the sexual part was the point of the show. This one, the point of the show was the coins and the secret with the sister and Shuichi's past. All of that stuff was the point of the show. The sex was just introduced as kind of filler.
Yeah, like you said, the main story taking a back seat and watching the whole other like sexual stuff being highlighted in here. Even the alien is being weird with this whole thing, right? I think that aliens shouldn't do that kind of stuff too, with like grabbing some hairs from her, from what region I don't know, and then like
Yeah, and
transform
then just
into
turn it
her
into
as
her
well.
naked form.
Yeah. Why? This is the WTF moment in the me. And then right at the end, they go back to the main route, and they never bother to end the show. I hate this
No,
show,
they were
man.
just setting up for season two. No,
There's
I'm
no
not gonna
season.
disagree with you at all, bro.
There's no season two, and you know it. Like I said,
No,
I never heard
they
of the
should
show
be.
at all. I never heard of the show at all. And yeah, now I know the reason why. People pretty much don't care about the show or hated the show or just the show just die under like some other isekai that just came out that season, I guess. By the way, do you have any memorable scene in there? Memorable scene, yeah.
If I had to pick a memorable scene, it would definitely be one of the fights. I think when Shuichi fused with the Tatter Girl and
Yeah.
turned into like an actual badass, I think that was pretty good.
Yes, that is the power system that they introduced, but they never utilize.
Right.
And they do it with some other random characters, the side characters that don't know if that character is important in the next arc or something. But it is a cool power system that should have been utilized with the main characters. It's either Elena or Claire that will do this kind of stuff in the future, probably. But they introduce this with some random characters that pretty much like just why, just what happened. But it's cool. Regardless. What bothers me quite a bit is when Elena like cut the costume right in half and the dude is still alive. How that
Yeah,
thing
how did he
works.
just regenerate?
Yeah. I don't know. I cannot explain it. That is just some bullshit that they are pulling out of their ass.
See, again, so much randomness they introduce into the show, and they're just like, hey, let him do this now. The fuck, then why did he have to go to see Homeboy to get his head reattached?
Okay. My memorable scene is the fight with the strong dude. And that leads to the my favorite character. The strong dude is so dope in my opinion. He is
Are we
so
talking about
strong.
the one with the pretty boy with the long hair? Or are we talking about the sword monster?
The sword monster, man. The sword monster. all the way.
Okay, I can definitely agree with you on that. The sword guy was probably the best character.
Yeah. They ditched that character when they entered the middle arc.
They tried to explain it away as to why he wasn't there. But at the same time, it's like, he should have been there. He was the character.
Yes. Yes. And then they reintroduced that character in the final act. Sort of. Yeah. But I love that guy so much. He's super strong. He's so mentally. It's not like other men that go gaga over the naked girl in here. So he is the most neutral one, I guess, in my opinion. Who's your favorite character, man?
I'm agreeing with you. I'm going with the sword guy.
All right. So, least favorite one?
Probably
the camera guy.
The camera guy. Absolutely. That whiny ass little bitch. Oh my god. Like, you realize you're a pervert, right? And you trying to be all like, you don't look at her. She's mine. Don't get into him. She's mine. Like, she don't even know you exist because you're over here hiding in the shadows, like being a voyeur and shit.
That's why he's the camera guy. He's the stalker, right?
Oh, I know. I mean, you know better. And he's a fucking traitor. I knew he was going to turn traitor.
Yes, we know that. And he knows the rule, too. If you're saying something about your partner, about your group, you will die instantly. You know, he knows. And he's still it's just a stupid, really, really stupid. I don't know what to say. Act, I guess. Another cool one that I remember in here is when Claire just decided to burn the whole forest with the poisonous flower or something. Brutal, man.
That was just good. I liked that.
Yeah, that is just one crazy move right there, man. other than the random sexual stuff, when it is good, you know? It is not that bad. The fight is good. The planning, the tactic is good. I enjoy them. The character is okay. They have the story, but they mess up real bad. There are things to improve in you, pretty much. I don't know if this show can be safe anymore. Probably from the looks of it, we are not going to get any continuation from the show. It's just a waste of resource, in my opinion. I don't know whose studio releasing this one. But yeah, you did a bad job. Anyways,
bad job.
Yeah. Do you think that this one will get any continuation at all? OVA maybe? A movie?
I doubt it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Too bad, man. Too bad. All right, so let's conclude the show.
Not too bad. Discerned.
Let's conclude the show. Will you recommend this show to other people, man?
No, absolutely not.
All right, it's hard to recommend. The positive side is so, I guess, taking a back seat for all of the negative point in here. Even for an edgy anime, this is not a good one. You know? Go watch something else. Go watch something else, man. Go watch the Seiko no Quasar, or Sekire, or Elfen Light, maybe. It's far better show, in my opinion. All right, so I guess that's it. That is the end of our review of Gleipnir. If you like what you heard here, I don't know if you like this one. Please give us a like, give us a follow, and give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen to this podcast on. So, for our Fang FM, This is the end of the year, so we are doing the usual. We are taking our breaks, and we will continue a couple of weeks after New Year, I guess, right in the middle of January. We will do our usual final flash, the first flash marathon. And before we do all that, I decided for us to watch Cyberpunk Edge Runner. It's a Netflix show. It is from a game, Cyberpunk 2077 or something like that. So I want to watch that one and see what it is all about. So yeah, that one is going to be right after we take our break, I guess, next year. So you have any comments or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on the interweb. Where can people find us on the interweb, Shannon?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast. Or if you want to shoot us an email, shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. With that being said, let's end the podcast like usual. So I got nothing to say about the show anymore. So guys, we are taking a break. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the Christmas. And have a good year. Please be safe out there and please don't die.
You know, I said it before and I'll say it again. There is such a thing as too much opi. You know what? Fuck it. Have a happy, safe new year. We'll see y'all in 2024.
All right. Let's say it with me now, Shannon. Shiitake.
Shiitake.
So what is the hot take that you decided not to talk about in the podcast?
Let me see if I closed it. It was... Oh, I think that Nami from One Piece was not only raped in her childhood by the fishman, but it's really fucking likely that she worked as a prostitute for a good chunk of her teenage life to get the ransom for her village together.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's not a hot take. That's some fucked up headcanon.
Yeah, they are going too deep with these characters, man. One Piece is not about that, even though they are pirates. Even though they are pirates, they are not going into that route at all. Yes, they are very sexual, but they are more for show than do that kind of stuff. All these pirates is just killing and get money. That's all. And get power.
That's all they care about.
Yeah, they are not into the sex stuff. Oh my, you are going too deep with that stuff, man. Being raped by the fishman and work as a prostitute. Wow. Maybe in some fan fiction. Maybe that can.
That's what I said. That's just somebody's fucked up headcanon.
Yeah, maybe in some doujinshi, yes, that exists maybe. Yeah, I see a lot of them. Maybe that one come from there. Wow, thank God.